It should be obvious that we're doing two things today because you had to do two pre-labs. One of them is DNA replication. That'll involve playing with the puzzles again. Why aren't the puzzles out? Well, they're over there. And so that's pretty self-explanatory, and it should be helpful because you've already learned the stuff in lab, but it's good to use the puzzles to figure it out spatially. That's one of the things. The other, though, which is what you should start with, or at least once I tell you I'm ready, because I have to do a little bit of prep work, is to prepare for PCR. We're not going to get the results of that until next week, but you need to set the experiment up. And PCR is an acronym that stands for what? It stands for polymerase chain reaction. And polymerase chain reaction, or PCR, is very valuable as an amplification technique. There's all kinds of reasons why you might want DNA in a scientific sample. Forensics is just one example, but there's all kinds of other uses of DNA. And sometimes, for whatever reason, you don't have all that much DNA in your sample. This is especially true for forensics. There might not be all that much at a crime scene, for instance. And the less DNA you have, the fewer tests you're going to be able to conduct on it, because each test takes a little bit of DNA. But you don't have to worry about that now that PCR has been developed, because as long as you have some DNA, you can make as much of it you want that's identical to that first sample by copying it. That's what PCR does. It really just does in a test tube what occurs naturally in a cell. It's a way to chemically mimic DNA replication. Is that a question?
Yeah. How good is the replication? Can you put it back in my body and
like get it fine? Well, no, because it's simply naked DNA.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, yes, you could, but not just not as easy as you're making it sound.
Yeah.
That's not why it's used, though. The PCR is used simply to have more copies of DNA that are exact copies for whatever use you need it for.
So it's just for testing.
You could use, yeah, if you're designing a gene, for instance, then you could make as much of it as you want. Once you have some made, you could use PCR to make a hell of a lot more copies. But in the natural case, in a cell, as we've learned, DNA replication happens just one time, right? Meaning you go from one copy to two copies. You double the amount. Well, PCR doesn't occur in a cell. It's just in solution. Using the same chemicals, though, that a cell uses. Same enzymes, same primers, and whatnot. But you can go through it as many times as you want. And it's nowadays performed pretty easily by a specialized machine over here called a thermal cycler. So-called because each replication process requires elevating the temperature and then dropping it. So it's thermal cycler. But anyway, it's all automated now. It's no longer actually people putting things into test tubes, which is how it was originally devised. And typically, the computer in the thermal cycler is set to 40 replications. That means you double it 40 times. So you end up with 2 to the 40th power number of copies of the DNA you originally had, which is, I forget what 2 to the 40th is. It's a big number. As long as you have the raw materials, you'll make exact copies every time it goes around in the process. So that's what you want to set up today, the PCR amplification technique. And so it's important eventually, if you haven't already, to read the intro starting on page 138, but for today I want you to just start with page 141, which is how you're going to set it up, And that's going to involve choosing two owl DNA samples, which are over here in this ice bucket. When you take these out, and they're numbered 1 through 20, so you can choose any two that you want. It's easiest just to take them back with you so that no one else will choose the same ones. Choose any two numbers, though, and right now they are probably frozen. Make sure there's something in them. This one appears to be empty. So you'll see that they'll have, most of them will have something in them. But they're probably frozen, and they will remain frozen if they're in this ice block. So take them out, write down which numbers you are, or which those are the owl numbers that you're doing. Okay, write those down in your notes so you know next week. But then you have to kind of wait on me. Well, you have some labeling of tubes to do. Before I forget, don't touch anything on your trays with your bare hands. Once I'm done talking, put gloves on so that you can touch things and not get your DNA on those things. But we're working with tiny tubes. The PCR tubes are the really tiny tubes that are in your tube blocks, much smaller than the centrifuge tubes you worked with earlier. And so they're hard to label because there's not much there, and you have to somehow put not only what owl you got, but your initials for your group that you're working in. There's really not enough room on that. So it's best to just make some sort of symbol or something that you can recognize, because these are going to go in with other people's tubes. Okay? Something that you can recognize, but write down in your own notes all the information that that symbol corresponds to. Okay? Each one needs to be different. You're going to do two. That's why you'll need two of these little tubes. Don't touch them with your bare hands, though. Anyway, it's simple preparation, mostly involving micropipetting again. We are today, though, using, I don't think we used the 2 to 20 last time, did we? Did we use the 2 to 20? Well, there are three numbers, notice, on your 2 to 20, but the bottom one is red. That's, you have to realize that there's a decimal point after the black number. So 050, for instance, which is what this one happens to be on, is really 5.0 microliters. If they tell you 2, it would be 020, not 002. 002 would be 0.2 microliters. That's too little. All right? So the red one is a decimal place. It's not an integer. Just keep that in mind. But you remember how to use micropipetters properly. Don't forget to put a tip on them before you immerse them into solution. Anyway, once you have your labeling of your tubes done, then you have to come up to me, and I need to put some ingredients into your tubes. And that's what I need to mix first. So I'm not going to be ready immediately. It's going to take me a few minutes. But get busy on labeling your tubes. Have it all ready to go so that when I say I'm ready, you can come up one person at a time from a group and get the squirts. And then after you prepare, follow the rest of it, you're preparing your tubes, you're going to be putting them into not the machine itself, I'll load the machine, but you're going to be putting your completed tubes into this rack. This rack, though, corresponds to a matrix that I'm going to put the tubes into in the machine. All right? You need to write down on this piece of paper where your two tubes are. They can be anywhere that's not an already filled box. And just put down your initials or whatever, your identifier for each of your two tubes. But make sure, once you put your information down on this, that you put your tubes in the right places that correspond to this box on the sheet. Is that all clear? Then once I have everyone's in here, I'll put them all into the machine and start the machine. That's all there is to that. It's really just following the instructions on that page I told you about, except it tells you to use a centrifuge on one part. Don't bother with that step. We're not really trying to separate anything with the centrifuge. She wrote that just because she wants all of your liquid to be at the bottom of the tube, and a centrifuge, if you put it in for just a couple seconds, it will put that to the bottom. But actually, don't do it that way. Simply, once you have all your ingredients and you carefully close the lid, snap it closed, just hit your tube 4 or 5 times on the desktop, and that'll put the liquid to the bottom. Any questions on that? So start with that, and if I'm still working by the time you're done labeling, then go on to starting the puzzle work, but I'll tell you when I'm ready.